put them down, but it didn't make any difference because they weren't really there. They were somewhere else. You know? So you say something like, I remember when I had my first pint of lager, and that they're looking at the Sirens of Titan as they're going through. You know, it doesn't. You're not going to put them down because they're not sharing the same universe. And so in the end, I was the last one on, and every actor suffered with this. And so I just sort of, they started off, and I said, I'm a bit long in the tooth for all this, really. So I got the audience, I moved the audience out of the pub, and I did the act out in the car park.
You did something there, by the way, when you said the Sirens of...
Titan, yeah.
Sirens of Titan there. And of course, that, rightly or wrongly, has become your trademark. Pretty much flights of fancy. Let's take the story over here. Mm. Is that something that's happened through Have I Got News, or you can't have done that stuff with early audiences. They wouldn't have known where you were going, did you?
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah. You know, you sort of like occasionally, you know, because when you write something, you think, oh, this is very funny, and sometimes the audience laughs, and sometimes they just look at you. And I had this stuff about Sooty. I had this stuff about Sooty, you know, before he became like a children's entertainer, he was a Shakespearean actor, and he went to RADA. And I started talking about this, how he was, you know, and he gave it up and sweeps these none of the money and he's signing on in Brixton, you know, and all this stuff. And the audience would just look at me saying, like, but he's a glove puppet. And other comics, unless I was part of some huge practical joke, other comics would say, I love that stuff. And everybody would laugh about it. I did it about 25 times. And it never worked.
You willfully put yourself sometimes in situations where your humour, not to make it too narrow, it will be... Perhaps not. You did that column for The People, which was great, but it's never going to work in The People. What was the
what was that all about?
I remember that column. It was a great column.
Oh, dear.
You read it and think, Paul,
I know. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was like you get like five sort of subjects and you do 100 words on each, and that's easy, you know. Like, you write, so, you know, 900 words, suddenly you've got to have an opinion on something.
Yeah.
Five, you know, 100 words, you can just sort of jot down an idea. I remember one week Mike Tyson had just gone into prison for the rape, and I wrote this thing about, this is Frank Bruno's big chance to become world champion. All he's got to do is dress up as a prison, get a prison guard's uniform, go into the prison, take in Mike Tyson's breakfast, whack him over the head with a tray, get someone to count to 10, and he'll be world champion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it was, you know. I it wasn't going to be a four-part documentary, that's all it was.
Yeah.
And the people said, we've done some research.
That's
we've done some research, and Mike Tyson isn't world champion anymore. So if Frank Bruno did that, he wouldn't become world champion.
No, they didn't rip.
And they said, we've spoken to the sports department, and they assure us that this would not happen. I say, well, yes, I know, but it's not an exclusive. It's only 100 words.
Exclusive.
You know, but there was no way, they're no talking them out of it.
Yeah, but you enjoyed it while you did it, I take it.
No, they pulled the piece.
Oh, I see.
They wouldn't use it.
No, they didn't.
Because it wasn't true.
Yeah.
I mean, this is The People saying it's not true.
Yeah. At this stage, of course, and on behalf of the audience, I want to say, why have you got a beard there, Paul?
What beard?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you knew it.
No, I thought I might do a bit of acting work. I'm going to specialise in U-boat captains. EastEnders looking for a U-boat captain. I'm straight in there. These other mugs haven't even started. I'm right ahead of them. I'm in there straight away.
You saw Keith Chegwin on earlier on.
Yeah.
He's
back there having a bottle of scotch, I should say.
I do. He'd be the first to laugh along with it.
No, he's very good.
Yeah, top man. Obviously, you remember the clips as well we were showing there. But
yeah,
in the 60s, what would have been? What did you grow up with? What were you fans?
Well, so children's programs.
Yeah.
I saw, there were several things. There was more things like Magpie, where you suddenly see Susan Stranks in a bikini, and at the age of 14, you think, this is great.
This was great, though.
This knocks spots off Valerie Singleton walking through Kenya in a pair of shorts. She's wearing a bikini, one. Man from U.N.C.L.E. I liked. Man from U.N.C.L.E. I liked a lot, and, you know, and I remember sort of when it first started, all those kind of things where you're pretending to be the person on the programme, so you're crawling around buildings like this and looking around corners.
I never had you pegged for a big Man from U.N.C.L.E.
No, I loved it at the time, it was great. And Robert Vaughan, David McCallum, excellent.
Yeah.
And I bought, the first early days of merchandising, and I bought this Man from U.N.C.L.E. Invisible pen.
You said research earlier on.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it when I first heard it.
Yeah.
A surprise for you, Paul Merton. Would you now look at these monitors? It must be true. Look at this.
Hello, Danny, and hello, Paul. Look, I'm really sorry that I can't be with you tonight on this very special occasion. But as you know, I'm a very busy man who has absolutely no idea who you are. I understand you were a big Uncle fan and even had one of our invisible pens. Well, I'm sorry to have to tell you, Paul, but there were no invisible pens. The envelope you received actually was empty. You were the only person who wrote in for one. I remember it well. Bob and I took your £2.10 and bought a bottle of scotch. I'm sorry, Paul, but there it is. Well, have a wonderful evening, and see you on a mission sometime.
Top man, David McCallum, recorded in New York earlier today. Now, you saw Mark O'Shea earlier, yeah, the Crocodile Man. Is that you? Are you brave?
No, I don't know. I once had this incident where I had this burglar. I was living in a place where there was this like, iron staircase leading up to the front door, and there was a main road outside. So I'm crossing the main road, and I see this bloke standing outside the front door, and I'm sort of looking for the traffic, and I cross the road, and he's gone. Now, I know that he's sort of not come down the stairs. I would have seen him, so I know he's inside the flat. So I go up this into this flat, and you think, well, what do you do? And so I sort of pushed the door open, and I said something like, hello? You know, as if he's going to say, oh, sorry, I've just got to borrow some sugar. And so there was nothing, you know, so I sort of edged in, and he was, I mean, it's such a cliche, I couldn't believe he was doing it. I sort of turned around the corner, and the curtains were there, and his feet were sticking out of the bottom of the curtain.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's hardly worthwhile being a burglar if you're going to do that.
Did you arrest him? Did you get him?
No. I heard somewhere that if you find a burglar, you know, you shouldn't sort of like try and trap them or organise a drinks evening with them. Those are the two things you shouldn't do. And so I just sort of said, oh, I'm not going to stop you. You know, I'll just go and whatever. Yeah. And he did, and he sort of said something. I'll be back. You know.
Yeah.
Seen too many Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
And I want to wind up with something deep. How do you feel about the press calling you the sexiest man on television? Yeah, you are.
Who cares, you know?
I mean,
ludicrous, you know. It's a ludicrous thing because, you know, before you were on television, women weren't fainting in the street because I was going down to the news agents. It's just, you know, anybody on television with a bit of makeup on, a pulse, you know.
There's you, Paul Merton.